Hello, welcome to Allowed for No Loss. This is Vasant, and with me I have Ramakrishnan G. Iyer. In today's episode, we are going to talk about the white ball series between India and England, the eight-game series, five T20s and three ODIs that just finished a day or so ago. This final scoreline was 7-1, which is a very clear indicator of which team was better than the others. At least in the T20Is, there were three games, including one win by England, wherein there was a little bit of a contest. The ODIs, on the other hand, were absolute whitewashes, with the Indian team just rolling over a hapless English team. The first game, the score was reached in 37 overs. In the second game, it took 42 overs. And in the third game, India won by 142 runs, with England barely batting 34 overs. Every which way, it was a shellacking. England had very little to offer. The only person who probably came out with any kind of positives was Adil Rashid, who bowled well both in the T20s and the ODIs. Honestly, failed to understand what Jos Buttler was talking about positives in this series. I didn't think they were there to compete at all. Of course, they did lose a couple of players to injury. Their selection seemed to be more driven by getting game time and controlling workload with a view for the Champions Trophy. But still, there's no excuse for this poor show. In particular, their batting was terrible. What's with this desire to hit every single ball? So, yeah, I mean, it just didn't make sense to me. So I thought the ODIs were not even close. On the flip side, I thought Team India was looking great. The batters are in form, the bowlers are bowling well, the fielding is electric, the strategy is working, the all-rounders are chipping in this way, that way, every which way. So all that looks good.
Yeah, but not without its small little share of some controversy in terms of team selection, Vasant. I think the decision, of course, it happened long back, but the decision to play Harshit Rana and not Mohammad Siraj, I thought was interesting, right? I mean, if you kind of look at the logic, I mean, the logic is, oh, but Siraj was terrible in Australia, wasn't he? He shouldn't be getting to play considering how bad he was. But I think, again, we are mixing formats. If you really look at it, take the other extreme, which is Shubman Gill. He was terrible playing the tests against Australia, and yet here he was in his favorite ever format, just fantastic batting, 259 runs, averaging 83 over three games. The bat was just flowing like, you know, milk and honey, right? That I thought was one interesting piece. I just wanted to compare and contrast the treatment of Siraj versus Gill, where, you know, Siraj was basically dropped off the back of, I think, questionable performances in the test format, and then Shubman, who was able to retain his place and went on to do really, really well. And then the second theme for me was really the one around Shreyas Iyer, and the think tank assuming that Shreyas Iyer was absolutely the right fall guy in their laudable effort to somehow include the really informed Yashasvi Jaiswal into the playing 11. So they were lucky in the first game. No Virat Kohli. He mysteriously hurt his ankle just the day prior, apparently, when Shreyas Iyer was busy watching the night show in some movie hall in Nagpur. So he got a text from Rohit apparently saying, dude, you're playing tomorrow. So he just packed up that movie thing and just rushed back to his room to sleep, apparently, as the story goes. But that, I think that was again a very interesting decision. I mean, I don't fault them for, you know, trying to find a way by hook or by crook to accommodate Jaiswal. But the question on whether he would have fit in place of Shreyas Iyer was, I thought, the interesting one and the controversial one per se. Especially, I mean, India lost the 20 because they didn't have a number four, and here we have a number four who has just literally beaten every record out there. And he's the one we choose to kind of sit out. So I found that interesting. The third one, of course, was the backdoor entry of Varun Chakravarti. And I call it backdoor because he has clearly made it here on the back of some truly impressive performances in the T20 world under the Gautam Gambhir regime, right? Gambhir has stood by him as soon as he's taken over in coach, and man, he's been repaid. So again, no problems with the fact that Varun was accommodated into the squad, but then it kind of asks the question in terms of where it leaves Kuldeep Yadav. I'm in support of this whole Varun Chakravarti decision for what it's worth. And the reason is that, Kuldeep's just come back from a really, really long layoff. I think he played one Ranji game after his comeback before he was rushed back into the Indian squad. So he checked the mandatory, got to play some first-class cricket before we take you back in box. But he wasn't particularly, you know, in his rhythm. And I say this purely from like reading the scorecard of that single game that he played. Not necessarily great figures. So maybe they were like, what if Kuldeep doesn't fire in Dubai? We need a backup. So we need Varun Chakravarti. And in order for him to be available for Dubai, he must get a turn now. So all of that kind of came together. So I thought these were three interesting interplays in the Indian squad selection for these three games. Thoughts?
Very much in line with what I was also thinking. I failed to see why Shreyas Iyer was in the out. He was always supposed to be on the in. He was going to be a number four. It is common knowledge, at least from the Australian camp, that the focus during that November 19th final for them was Rohit Sharma and Shreyas Iyer. That was the player that they were a little worried about because they knew that he could just take away the game in the middle overs. But then Shreyas Iyer slowly has overcome that stigma of being a bad boy in the eyes of the BCCI with some performances. And luckily for him, he just like unleashed a masterclass in that first ODI. And after that, they couldn't drop him. And his performance in the last ODI was outstanding. And then the one in the middle, he was unfortunately run out. His mistake, granted, but still. And the Varun Chakravarti selection, I concur with you. He's more of a backup to an undercooked Kuldeep Yadav. And Varun has been taking wickets. The other advantage with Varun Chakravarti is he doesn't need the pitch to turn. A lot of his wickets are minimal turn, this change of pace, the angles. I mean, he's a different kind of a bowler. He's not necessarily your classical spin bowler who needs a turning track to do anything. If anything, that might work against him. And giving him a go in the ODI series prior to the Dubai trip, I think was a smart thing to do. The other thing which you talked about was Harshit Rana over Siraj. A little unfortunate in the sense he had a poor home series with the red ball. That particular black mark or stigma carried on in the Australia series. And actually in Australia, he bowled badly in one innings. I think that was in the fourth test in Melbourne. Otherwise, he was okay. He was passable. But then again, he's the kind of a bowler who was going to be aggressive. He's going to leak runs. He's more closer to Umesh Yadav than, say, a Mohammad Shami. What Team India missed then was somebody who could sort of be metronomically accurate and hustling you like Mohammad Shami.
Or even an Ishan Sharma.
Correct. That was what was missing. Harshit Rana is another player who's again going to leak a lot of runs. He doesn't have any level of consistency. I think it's common knowledge that Harshit is getting a bit of a break thanks to the coach's familiarity with him. While I think that he should not have played anything beyond the first test in Australia, he's actually not a terrible selection in the white ball game. Especially now with Bumrah not there, we are going to have a little bit of a tough time out come the Champions Trophy. What I would have liked to see is more time for Ashdeep. But then these guys were caught in a bind because they were only playing two quicks. And then they have to give Shami an opportunity to fine-tune his model and as well as Harshit Rana to come to terms with ODI cricket. So it was a bit of a challenge there for them. But all that said, another thing came through in the first two games. Ravindra Jadeja is bowling like the Jadeja of old. He is very, very good. I mean,
I wonder what happened. Was that just that one or two? Was it one or two games that he played back for Saurashtra?
He played two games. He bowled only in one. See, I still remember it was a couple of years ago. He was injured and he came back to play and he ended up playing one game against Tamil Nadu at Chepauk and picked up 12 wickets. Right? And then after that, the whole series, was it Australia? I think it was Australia. He really was on top of them. So this guy needs the game time. And I think they have figured out a way wherein they can accommodate Aksar and him. Aksar more as a batter and this guy more as a bowling all-rounder. But this guy is not a bowling all-rounder. He's a real all-rounder. So I like that center unit, that Aksar, Hardik, Jadeja. All of Gujarat comes together in the middle, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yep. There's a guy from Baroda, a guy from Saurashtra, and a guy from Gujarat. I mean, you could technically add Bumrah in there as well. But
Of course. all that is looking very good. They somehow found a place by actually opening up a batter slot for Aksar, and which is very smart. And Aksar has repaid his faith, the faith by batting wonderfully well, right? So to me, the balance is there in the team for a change. Yeah. Okay. Now,
I think those were some of this whole idea of bat really deep, which is something the Gautam Gambhir era started off in the T20, is something they're continuing in this one day format as well, because play these three all rounders in the middle, they bat all the way up to eight. And then, you know, they probably are a fan of Harshish Rana's batting skills now at nine. Bat deep,
yeah.
Many people bowling, six proper bowling options. I mean, they're checking all those boxes.
They're checking all the boxes.
I mean, they played the 2023 World Cup after the Hardik injury with five bowlers. I mean, they just couldn't figure out a way to get a six bowler into the
game. Yeah, I mean, it was one big risk. And guess what? We were lucky that it didn't burn us in the World Cup. It finally burnt us in Sydney.
Exactly.
This ODI team is looking good. They're looking well-oiled machine. I think these guys have got their act together. Rohit Sharma is beginning to look like he's enjoying playing. And Virat Kohli's innings, the third ODI, stood out. It looked like the Virat Kohli of old. The slap drives, the runs on the onside.
I was up at midnight and I found out India was batting. And I had this hunch that Kohli would come out to bat. So I stayed up. I actually stayed up watching the game live till Kohli got out and then I went to sleep.
Yeah, that makes the two of us.
Oh, you did too.
That leaves me somewhat groggy today. But all said, I thought both T20I and ODI series were brilliant for Team India. A lot of boxes were checked. The team looks good and good spirits. You can't do better preparation than this for a ICC tournament.
100%.
Now, England.
Let's go to England. Yes. Yeah.
England. They seem to have only one model, whether it's Test, ODI or T20. Just come and swing away at everything and wildly.
Yeah, just swing wildly. Laga to laga.
It's unfortunate. They seem to have only one decent bat, Joe Root, okay, who's like the Bumrah of batting. But this is not tenable. They need to be lucky. And Joss Butler looks a shadow of himself.
I was just going to say that.
Joss Butler is not looking...
not look dangerous at all. I mean, I think they have lack of clarity on where Butler bats in the batting order. He batted at three, he batted at six. So that I think there was some confusion going on over
and
there.
What was this bringing in Tom Benton as a replacement for Jacob Bethel? I mean, why do you replace a spin bowler who can bat with a wicketkeeper batter when you have three other wicketkeeper batters, including your captain? I think there's a lot of confusion going on there. They have better players that they're not playing.
That is one argument, yes, that there are better players that aren't playing. Even these guys are really, really good players. I mean,
correct. Correct.
The truth of the matter is, this group is not reflective of a 7-1. I mean, the Indian team played really well. We loved it. All of that is true. But surely this team is better than what the scoreline is.
It is not the scoreline. Of the 8 matches, 5 of them were washed.
They're not even in the game. Correct.
Yeah, so it's not a question of, okay, they just missed by not playing the big points here and there. No. These guys have not played to potential. That's my take.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Harry Brook, in the little that he, when he played well, he looked very good. He looked very, very good. But evidently, India and him don't seem to work very well. Yeah. It's yet another tour and yet another struggle. And guess what? He loves playing in Pakistan. And so we might see a different Harry Brook when he goes to the Champions Trophy. But overall, even stepping back from all this CT lead up and everything, I think both the white ball teams are looking in much better shape than the Test team.
100%.
I think the T20I team is ready. It is already moving in the direction of getting a squad in place for the 2026 World Cup. There are guys coming back from injury, the likes of Rehan Parag and a few others who are injured. So these guys are going to have a lot of people. They will have time, and people like Ishan Kishan have an opportunity to come back. And guess what? These guys have called out the fact that Pant doesn't play T20s very well. And they just didn't pick him. Pant, Rishabh Pant. They didn't pick him.
Who made the statement about...
No, there was no statement. The statement was made through the selection.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, I agree.
No, The point is they're willing to take Jurel and then fiddle around with the batting, but they won't play Pant. So it's a big statement. So, and even in this ODI team, Pant is there, but they're still playing KL Rahul, which is another indication.
The fact that Pant offers that so-called left-hand option.
Yeah.
They pressure Patel as that so-called left-hand option, mm-hmm. which, by the way, worked really, really well as an aside. But it, again, you're right about the fact that there seems to be a degree of reluctance to play Pant in wide.
Everybody used to say that Pant used to be in because the lefty and this and that. But plain and simple, Rahul v. Pant, they play Rahul. And it's clearly whatever Rahul did in the last World Cup, people remember. People think he did a good job. I do think that there is another angle to this. I think that Pant is better off batting in test match fields. His consistency with wide ball matches is a little suspect. Anyway, to summarize this series, to summarize the two white ball series, I think that this was a shellacking. Team India looks in great shape. I'm really, really happy looking at the longer term. England is going through some kind of transition, but they have been struggling for a long time with their white ball team. And what a huge departure from that team of the 2019 and 2020, which looked almost unbeatable.
The Morgan era.
Yeah, the Morgan era. Staying with the ODIs, just hopping over, it looks like Pakistan pulled a rabbit out of a hat, beating South Africa. New Zealand is looking very dangerous. They seem to be very efficiently winning with a team that half of whom we don't even know. And South Africa have their own problems with half their pace bowling unit in the hospital bed. The reason I brought up New Zealand is they are one of our opponents for the CT. So it's, and they are the dark horse. So it's going to be very interesting. In the meantime, Australia struggled against Sri Lanka.
And they have now replaced the interim squad they announced then and the final squad they've announced now. They have five players.
Yeah, they are having a lot of issues with their.
Three fast bowlers dropped out. Cummins dropped out. Stark dropped out. Hazelwood dropped out.
Yep.
So they've got brand new bowlers in there, number one. Then I think Marcus Stoinis out of the blue decided to simply announce his retirement after he was selected into the Champions Trophy squad.
Yeah, he must be talking to Ashwin a lot.
And Ashwin must be telling him, go play. Why play World Cup in Dubai? Play T20 in Dubai.
Exactly.
And then there was a fifth person as well, right? Mitch Marsh. So anyway, the good news is Jake Fraser-McGurk is now back on the team. And the bowling attack will be led by Sean Abbott.
Yep. So they clearly didn't want to select a gentleman who was called one of the most annoying guys in the team or arrogant guys in the team. They said, and in fact, they even dropped him for the two tests in Sri Lanka. Sam Constas.
Oh, Constas. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, Usman Khawaja called him arrogant. Endearingly arrogant, very politely telling the world what he really thought of him.
That's funny. Usman Khawaja does have a way with words.
I know.
He has a way with words. Yes.
Yeah. So that said, the Australian test team absolutely decimated the Lankans.
And immediately went on to lose the one day. Which
See, they'll go and put those mud pits as pitches where the ball will not move after pitching. And you have to have a different set of skills to negotiate that. And I don't think this Australian team outside of Steve Smith can bat that. So, yeah.
Anyway. But, so, yeah, good couple of weeks. 5+3, 8 games. 1-7, lost 1. Found out England really, really well. I think, I don't know how accurate this is. Like, there were some complaints about the English team not practicing enough and stuff like that. Kevin Peterson expressed himself on everyone's favorite.
Yep. Yes. Not only Kevin Peterson, so did, who's that fast bowler, man? The Ashes.
Harmison.
Stephen Harmison, yeah. He had something to say about these guys just not even bothering to practice. And he says, what is going on with these guys? But
they were practicing golf, right?
They were practicing golf. So evidently they decided this is not working. We may as well play some golf or something like that. That's a wrap on the two series. And happy times. People have forgotten what happened in Australia thanks to this. So, yep. So
hopefully
okay.
We can bring home the bacon from the next one. Yeah. And then, everyone will completely forget there's even a place Cold Australia.
Exactly. With that, it's a wrap. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.